All right, brothers and sisters, can you hear me? Amen. Okay, wonderful. Well, it really saddens me to say we're coming to the last message of this year's Summer School, The Truth. As we were praying with some brothers earlier, one of them expressed, oh, how he wishes we could just continue. And I really share the same sentiment. I wish we could just keep all of us here and continue to enjoy the Lord together. This afternoon, we actually have a very special message for you all. And we really hope that your heart would just be open. Even how about right now? Let's just close our eyes, bow our heads, and let's just pray. Lord, I just turn my heart to you. Lord, I just open my heart to you. Okay. So one of the songs we sang earlier was Song 38, and I really like this song because actually encapsulates this entire week, this topic, the triune God, the person and work of Christ. And in Song 38, the second stanza, we see, right, that this life, and what is this life? Well, we saw this past week, what is this life that we're talking about? Right? It's not just a simple life, right? But this is the processed and consummated triune God as the Spirit ministered into us, dispensed into us as life. This life, though it frees, is not just meant for victory, but it has a certain goal. It's not aimless. It has a certain totality. And actually this afternoon, we'll see what it is. This goal or this totality is actually centered on what? The wife, the marriage day of the Lamb, the bride that God desires. Okay, so we see in the chorus, it says, Lamb, wife, spirit, and bride. Did you know this is taken from a verse? So I asked the saints on AV, can you show us Revelation 22:17? Okay, let's read this together. Ready? This, you know, this is one of the last verses in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, young people, I'm about to show you this is your destiny. Do you want to hear about your destiny? This is our destiny. Okay, let's read it together. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. Okay, so at the end of the Bible, what do we have here? We have two persons actually joined together as one. It's the Spirit and the bride. And here, actually, in your recovery version, there is a wonderful footnote. That's actually one of my favorites. So maybe I could ask the saints, go to the next slide. I'd just like to read this to you. This is the entire week of our summer school summarized in these few sentences. Okay, ready? So it says, the entire revelation of the Bible shows us the love story of a universal couple. That is the sovereign Lord who created, right? God, the creator, the universe and all things, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who went through a process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. I hope you were saying amen after all of these steps. And who ultimately became the life-giving Spirit, is joined in marriage to the created, redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified tripartite man, composed of spirit, soul, and body, which ultimately constitutes the church, the expression of God. Okay, check this out. These last two sentences are awesome. In the eternity that is without end, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do for eternity? Think about it. Without end, by the divine, eternal, and surpassingly glorious life, they will live a life that is the mingling of God and man as one spirit, a life that is super excellent and overflows with blessings and joy. Okay, you could take this down. Isn't that awesome? Wow, don't you want to find out what will happen at the end? And this verse tells us what will happen at the end. Okay, brothers, you could take that down. So we need to see that the Lord's second coming, his second coming, is not just merely an event, okay? It's not something that will happen in the blink of an eye. It will in some aspects, but his second coming is altogether centered on a person, a corporate person, which is really the church composed of all of us and all of his loving believers. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to see the Bible is a divine romance. We see that in Genesis. We see that in Revelation 22. It's a story of this couple, and it's a love story, how God loves man from eternity past through time into eternity future. God wants a counterpart. He wants a bride. He wants a wife, one who would match him, one who will satisfy him. And this is what he is coming back for. And so in this outline, you see, actually, there's several aspects, two aspects of his coming, the secret and then also the open. But we need to realize that whether we participate in the secret coming or open coming, depends on our readiness. Okay. So that was my first point, is that God is coming for a bride. But my second point that I want to impress all of you this afternoon is that God wants to come back soon. Actually, he wants to come quickly. Did you know 1 in 20 verses in the New Testament speaks about his coming? How many verses are there in the New Testament? Anybody know? 7,957. And out of those verses, 398 verses, so it's roughly 1 in 20, talks about his coming. So you know what that's like? That's like, okay, say I have a conversation with Christopher Morales. Okay, Christopher, hey, unmute yourself. Christopher, hi, Christopher.
Hello, Shepherd.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, how are you? How's your brother Jose?
He's doing fine.
Hey, I want to come and visit you.
You can come.
All right. Hey, Christopher, how's your family? How's your dad? How's your mom?
They're doing well.
Okay. I heard you're going up to Boston soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Hey, I want to come and visit you.
All right. Come
hey,
through.
Hey, Christopher, I want to come now.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. I want to come quickly. I want to come soon.
Oh, I mean, you got to hop on your car and come.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you're impressed with the Bible that you're reading. It tells you God's heart. It's telling you, I want to come. I want to come quickly. I want to come for my bride. He speaks this over and over again. You know what? Actually, think about this. He might look forward to this more than all of us. And why is that? Why is that? Sometimes we don't have this realization that God is coming quickly. But we need to realize, oh, God loves us. Oh, he loves us so much. Haven't you seen the demonstration of his love, right? Just through the process that he went through. Oh, God loves us. He wants to come and gain us for himself. He wants to marry us. And you know what? For the older ones, even the juniors and seniors, college students, you would have to agree with me, right? The older you get, the more you will appreciate this fact. And it's not because the older we get more mature, but the older we get, we realize something about ourselves. And I'm speaking to myself. I realize I'm full of spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. And for the Lord to want to come to marry me, wow. Lord Jesus, me, even me. Have you ever considered this, brothers and sisters? Wow, his love for us. It's just amazing. It's so sweet. So we realize he wants to come quickly. So what should we do? Okay, we need to look at another verse. Revelation 19:7. The brothers, can you pull it up? Revelation 19:7. We sang this. Now let's read it together. Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Okay, thank you. You could take it down. Made herself ready. Actually, God can't come back unless we are ready, unless the bride is ready. The wife has to make herself ready. And we'll see real soon how we can make ourselves ready. So again, this is not something that we could just be sloppy about, you know, be lazy about. Oh, the Lord will come back. You know, I'll just live my own life. And, you know, one day he'll just come back. But there needs to be some cooperation, some things done on our part. But weren't we so impressed this week that we have the ability, right? We have everything we need. We have the Spirit. We have his incarnation. We have his human living. We have his death. He's the one on the throne. He's the one as the high priest praying for us. He's rooting for us. He's our forerunner. Oh, he's leading us into glory. He's defeated Satan. He's dealt with every negative thing. Oh, brothers and sisters, right? We need to see the process and consummated triune God has done everything and is doing everything to enable us to be ready. And I was just so impressed that, you know, one day we will rejoice and we will exalt and we will have to give him all the glory. Why? Because I believe in that day we will remember. We will remember the moments we ate him and lived because of him. We will remember how much we depended on his fine humanity, because our humanity was just corrupted, insufficient. We will remember the times that we applied the resurrection life of Christ. We will remember how we were able to be uplifted, how he overcame sin, Satan, and the world. And we overcame because of that, because of that. That was the word of our testimony. And we will give him the glory because he did it. It's not because we were anything, because he did it. He made us ready. Oh, saints, in that day, we will do a lot of rejoicing. We will give a lot of glory to our beloved triune God, because he, through our cooperation, has made, we have made ourselves ready. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. How do we make ourselves ready? And I like to bring you to... actually, this is also in your outline, okay? And this is found in Matthew 25. And I think we're somewhat familiar with this parable. This entire chapter actually has two main parables, okay? The first half is on this matter of maturity in life, okay? And then the second half is touching this matter on being faithful in service. So how can we make ourselves ready? We need to mature in life and we need to be faithful in service, okay? And so maybe you could read along with me. What does it mean to be mature in life? It means that the Christ who has come into us has grown up till every part of our soul is filled with him. Okay, this is in your outline. That means when we enjoy him, right? When we allow him to come into our situation, you know, when we ask him, right, to supply us, to strengthen us. When we ask him to make his home in our hearts, right, he is filling our vessel with his life, his very life. Our mind is being renewed. Our emotions, our will, everything is being transformed. And we are being filled up with this wonderful life, right? But not only that, not only that we would be filled and be overflowing with this life, we also need to pay attention to service, right? And so, we see here actually service. I'll just point out these three things. It's to be faithful in our gospel, right? Gospel preaching. You know, now that we have drawn out, right, this entire wire diagram, you know, that's not just for our own knowledge and appreciation. It is. But now we need to be faithful, oh, to go out, right? And to speak these things, right? So many people in this world, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, oh, they need this gospel. We need to see this, right? So we need to be faithful to do our part, to speak to them, right? That Christ has come to be life. Amen. Number two, we need to be faithful in serving, right? In the service of the church, and to this includes Levitical. This also includes shepherding, right? Caring for the believers. And then finally, we also need to be faithful, what? To function, right? As we're enjoying this life, we're being filled with this life will overflow from us, right? And so we could share something. Tonight, you'll have an opportunity to share something. Maybe on Lord's Day, tomorrow, the brothers will give you some time. Share something. You need to be faithful to your portion. But we actually, our burden is not just right after summer school, but what about September? What about October? What about into December? Will you be faithful? Oh, Lord, well, we could pray these small little prayers. Lord, make me faithful. I am not faithful, but you make me faithful. I'm not mature, but you make me mature. Okay, I'm almost out of time, but I want to end in this particular way. I think all of us, we love the Lord. And we want to make ourselves ready. And we want to be prepared. Why do we want to be prepared? Because we love him, right? Just like in a human marriage, right? Oftentimes, the bride spends some time to make herself ready. Why does she do that? It's because she loves the bridegroom, right? She's not going to walk in there with jeans, shorts, and flip-flops. Short sleeves, t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops, right? You know, there's a process and there's time involved, but ultimately, what motivates her is because of love. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, what motivates us to be mature in life, to spend time with the Lord, is because we love him. It's because, Lord Jesus, I love you. Why do we serve, right? Why do we preach the gospel? It's because we love him, and we love him the best. And we love him the first. We want to give the Lord the first place and the best place in our heart. Okay, so I want to end in this way. I'm going to give you a little demonstration. And this hopefully is a little application. Okay, I'm going to take this. I'm going to set it up here. All right. Do you see this? You all can see that, right? You still can hear me, right? Okay. This is a very practical application on what it means to love the Lord, okay? So you could say this, you see this? This is your heart. This is your being, okay? And you know, we love the Lord. So we want to, you know, have time in the Word. We want to spend personal fellowship with him. But, you know, we also, you know, want to pursue with our companions, you know, give them a call, pray together. But you know, we're well-rounded people. So, you know, we have sports, we need to exercise, and don't forget, you need to study. Okay. So this is all of our responsibilities, right? But oftentimes, you know, what ends up happening, right? This is our being, right? It's a vessel and it's limited. It's limited. What ends up happening is, although we have all of these things, we love the Lord, we want to spend time with him. And, you know, we of course have to study, but sometimes what ends up happening is, we are on TikTok for maybe half an hour. Maybe that goes into an hour. You know, we're on Netflix for, you know, we said, okay, only 30 minutes, but then it turns into 2 hours. What else do we do? Oh, some games, computer games. Okay. We were only supposed to play an hour, but then it became 3 hours. But, you know, in our heart, we still say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I want to read the Bible. I still want to call my companions. And maybe I could try to spend some time with you. And study. Uh-oh. Actually, I think oftentimes we hold, you know, sports and, you know, that we probably do before that. And so we don't have time. We don't have time with, you know, for all the other things. Okay. Well, but what happens? What happens? What if, and this is what it means to give the Lord the first place in your heart, the best place. We give him the first place in the morning, right? We set aside some time. You know, we've been speaking about this, right? To spend personal fellowship with the Lord. Okay. Lord, I give that to you, right? Have the first place in my heart. Oh, the Bible. Lord, I really want to give you the first place in my reading of the word. My calls with my companions to shepherd, you know, maybe you want to call somebody you haven't seen in a while. Sports, you still could play sports, exercise. And then don't forget, you need to study. Wow, it fits all in. And then you still, maybe you still have leftover time, right? You could, you know, go TikTok, social media. It all fits. It still all fits together. Well, I hope you were impressed with that. I need to give credit where credit is due. I didn't come up with this illustration. One of the brothers in Southern California did it. And I'm just so impressed. But what does it mean to give the Lord the first place? In a very practical way, it's your time, right? If we really say, Lord, I love you. I want to be prepared. What does that mean? Practically, very practically. That just means we need to give the Lord our time. Okay, I think I ran out of time. I was going to end with the song, but I think we better just pass it to Brother Ken. Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Hi, everyone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I remember in a previous meeting, Ricky reminded us all, we have a spirit of power.
Amen.
And a spirit of love. Amen. And a spirit of sober-mindedness. We do have love in us. And I just want to mention to begin with something that Ricky said in our prayer before this meeting. It was touching. He said, when you think about it, the Lord, he came the first time. He came in a way of what? Love. Let's all say it. Love. He so loved the world. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And he's coming back the second time in the way of what? Love. He's looking for the lovers. Don't you want to be one of those crazy lovers?
Amen.
I know this one does. You want to be a crazy lover?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, what is your name?
Dave.
Huh?
Dave.
Dave. All right, Dave. Praise the Lord. May we all be the crazy lovers. You know, the Lord came to me when I was in college and I was working part-time at a bank. And I'll just say it very simple. He touched my heart. It was one of love. I was just far away going the other direction from the Lord. And the Lord came and he touched my heart. And actually, I would say he did something really strange. I just thought about it when he was sharing. And that was, when I was with a friend and there was a worldly song on, it was an Elvis song, and it was a song about loving the Lord. No, about loving, about love. And it's a song you all are familiar with. From my heart comes a melody of the one who gave his life for me. Lord, I can't help falling in love with you. Well, when I heard that song, the Lord just spoke something to me. I was all by myself. Someone went into a store to get something. I was there. And the Lord just said, I want you to love me. I want you to love me like that. I mean, I really had that feeling. He wanted me to love him like that one who was falling in love with this one. Anyway, may the Lord touch us all to be those who fall in love with the Lord. And as to begin with, I want to step back. You know, this message is on the Lord's second coming. How many love to hear about the Lord's second coming? Whoa, somebody does. A lot really don't want to hear about the Lord's second coming. It's kind of a scary thing, and they don't like hearing about it. Well, I just want to mention a few things to kind of wake you up and be aware of something. This is not our focus, but it's just so you're aware. You know, your grandma or grandpa or grandparents, they lived at a time on the earth. In 1948, something happened. And that is the nation of Israel came into being again. They had their homeland back. The United Nations worked it out. They had their land. And you have to keep in mind that God's people, the people of Israel, they were scattered all over the earth. Something marvelous happened. All of a sudden, Christians all over the earth were astounded that Israel had become a nation. Wow, there's a state of Israel on the earth. Then in 1967, something else happened. And that is, there was a six-day war. There were three countries. I think it was Egypt, Jordan, Syria. They had a sneak attack against Israel. But God was with them. And in 6 days, instead of them being defeated by these three countries, Israel, in turn, defeated them and took over more land that wasn't part of the original, state of Israel. So what happened is they got more of the land that God had promised. So again, the Bible spoke of these things. And then it happened in 48. Now, believers all over the earth were shocked. There is a nation of Israel now. Now it's possible for the Lord to come back, because they knew before, when the Lord comes back, there has to be a temple that the Antichrist goes into. Where is it? Well, there's no temple. There's nothing in Jerusalem. There's no land of Israel. But it happened. It happened in 48. And then in my lifetime, this land was increased. So again, I just say all that. Listen, believers all over the earth, they all know Jesus is coming. Yeah. Let's all say that. Jesus is coming. He came the first time, and he is coming again. Oh, what do you think about that? Isaac. Yeah. Well, it's important. It's important for us to realize he is coming. So how shall we live? I really appreciate all that was presented, by our brother. Listen, his heart for us is not to come and judge. His heart for us is not to judge and condemn. He didn't come for that. But eventually he will have to take care of some of that, because guess what? The world is lawless and rebellious. And even some of his believers are wrapped up with the world, and their vessel is full of everything else. Let me just ask you, do you think the Lord, as one who wants to get married, do you think he wants to marry a little child? Is he going to marry a little one that's only 7 years old? No. He's waiting. He's waiting for the bride to be prepared, to get ready. When will that be? I don't know. But I do believe this. It's nearer than it was before. Amen. You know, when I came into the church life, I had the feeling. I hope you would all have this feeling. I had the feeling I'm coming into the greatest thing in the universe. Amen. And I told my friend Daniel, I'm about to come into the greatest thing going on. I just can feel it. It's in my bones. And even in those days, I would just, when I came to the church life, I just like, wow, the Lord's coming. I didn't think anybody died in the church. I just thought the Lord was going to come in the next year or two. It was so exciting to be in the church life where everybody's loving the Lord and the Lord is coming back. Well, he's delayed because he loves us, but he needs us. He wants some that would stand with him and care for what's on his heart. Pull up the first verse that I had here. Could you pull that up? Oh. Ooh. That needs to go to something else. Yeah. AV verses? AV verses? Okay, I'll just read to begin with. This is in Matthew 25:10 and Matthew 25:21. I'll start with 25:10. Oh, there it is. Why don't you all just read this, could you, real quick? So there's only a certain amount of time, but the day will come when the door will be shut. But you can see here in Matthew, this is the story of the 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins, not all of them had oil in their vessels, so they were not ready. And but the point I want to make is the word what? Let's all say it. The first word that's highlighted,
ready.
And the next one is?
Wedding.
Wedding is something wonderful. It's sweet. It's full of love. Do you go to a wedding like you go to a funeral?
Yeah.
like it's all over for this. Oh, man, their life is over. No, it's a happy time. Then verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master.
Amen.
Let's all read that last sentence together. So again, you can see, what is the Lord's heart for us? What's the word here?
Joy.
That big paragraph that Shepherd read, what was the last word? Joy. Listen, the Lord wants to be joy to us. What is ahead of us is a marriage feast. And you know what? It's going to last for 1,000 years. Come on. Somebody get excited.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen, Ben. I mean, the Lord is excited. Even in his parables at the beginning, you know, at the beginning of his ministry, he used parables like that one. Oh, you need to watch. You need to be faithful in service as well. Okay, let's go into the next verse. Can you do that? Can you show us those? That's in Revelation 19:7. We've already read that one, but look at it. His wife has made herself what?
Ready.
Say it again, everyone.
Ready.
Then verse 8, sisters. This is the righteous acts of the saints. So on one hand, you see the wife has made herself ready. That means she's doing something to get ready for this wedding. Do you think, what does a 7-year-old, what does a 9-year-old need to do? They need to grow. Let's all say it, grow.
Grow.
Gabe, what do you need to do?
Grow.
Amen. I love that. It was so quick. What do you need to do?
Grow.
Amen. We all need to grow. That's right. And then we'll see a little bit later. You know, again, we'll come back to some of the main points regarding how do we prepare? How are we made ready? Okay, verse 9, brothers.
And he said to me, right, blessed are the dinner of the Lamb. To me, these are the true words.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah for marriage dinner. Come on, doesn't everybody like a marriage dinner? It's not just white cake. It's a marriage, what, dinner. And other places, it's a feast. It's a wedding feast. So anyway, are you excited about that? The Lord's preparing a wedding feast. Okay, slide 3, Revelation 19:11. Okay, there it is. Okay, brothers, first verse.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sits on it, called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war.
Okay, I skipped ahead a little bit too quick here. There's a little something before it's till we all arrive, right? Rejoice, because there's the bride hath made herself ready. And so this is in the end of the Bible, in Revelation. You know, the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back for a bride. He's coming back to have a wedding. And it's not what you think. On one hand, it's a wedding feast. It's a feast for 1,000 years to those who are ready, to those who made themselves ready. Even there's a verse about being adorned. I think it's the next slide. Anyway, it goes like this. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, prepared as coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A bride adorned for her husband. What do you do in preparation? Does a bride just sit around and wait? I mean, my daughters, I have 5 daughters. They all got married. They all have husbands. It's very nice. I was so happy about that. But there's a lot of complications. There's so many things to get ready. I mean, one of them had to get a wedding gown. And they all were too expensive for us. And so we eventually found a wedding for my first daughter. I can't remember. I'm confused over them all. But she got one from my wife's sister-in-law. And it was a dress that she was given to her by her mother. It was an old dress, but it was so expensive, so nice. They just had to, alter it a little bit. And she wore this old grandma's wedding dress that had been revised and updated. Anyway, it's not easy. You got to be prepared for a wedding. Saints, let's prepare. How should we prepare? Do you have any ideas? Listen, I want to tell you how exciting it is, though. It's an exciting thing to prepare. Being in the church life is the most wonderful place on earth, where we're helped by one another to love the Lord. When we were singing, what was going on? David, what was going on when we were singing? Huh?
Preparation.
You were excited. You were enjoying. You were getting filled with life. That's getting oil in your vessel. Oil in your vessel. Tell your neighbor, you need oil.
You need oil.
Amen. Zach, what do you need?
We need oil.
Elman, what do you need?
Oil.
Amen. We all need what?
Oil.
To fill our vessel. Okay. In Revelation 19 is an exciting story. And part of it has this aspect of Armageddon. Everybody talks, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about Armageddon, right? The apocalypse. There's games all about, they're excited about Armageddon. Who's excited about Armageddon? Listen, I don't care about all that outward stuff. I'm going for the real thing. I'm aiming at showing up at the Valley of Armageddon in Israel whenever the Lord comes. When he comes, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a wedding day to begin with. We're going to get married. And then all those that are his overcomers, the first fruits, the ones who are full of oil, they have the fine linen. They have the proper righteousnesses. The Lord is so happy. He finally gets a people that match him.
Amen.
She's not a 7-year-old. She's not a 10-year-old. Excuse me. She's ready. She's prepared. This is what the Lord is waiting for. One of the Harvard students asked me lately, said, he was surprised to realize, you mean the Lord just doesn't have a time set? He's not just going to come at a certain time? I said, no, he's waiting. And I just showed him one verse. The bride has made herself ready. And then he comes. I need to take another drink. We can all take another drink. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the way, this is so refreshing. In Revelation 19, let's see, I think there's another slide, 19:13. Could you pull that one up? And I saw heaven opened. This is after he gets the bride. He's so happy. He has the bride. There's a marriage feast. And then all these ones are at the feast. It says, this is what happened next. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he sits on it, called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And then it says, concerning this one on a white horse. Everybody say it, white horse. So you have a wedding. The wife has made herself ready. Okay, let's just say it, ready. And then there's a white horse. Wow. And then the one that's on the horse, he had a certain appearance. And this is one of the things that says, he's clothed with a garment dipped in blood. And his name is called what?
Word.
So I'll say it a little stronger. The Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And you know what? I need to read another verse. I don't think it's on the outline there or on the slides. But this is for lovers. This is for those that love the Lord. We're going to get married. We're going to have a marriage feast. We're going to enjoy the Lord for 1,000 years and on into eternity. But we're also going to help him clean up the universe, even clean up this earth. So here's this one. This is Revelation 19, 12. And his eyes are a flame of fire. Let's all say it. Flame of fire.
Flame of fire.
And on his head, many diadems. Okay, and he has a name written which no one knows but himself. And then you have this verse, and he's clothed with a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And guess what happens? The armies which are in the heavens followed him. That's us.
Yes.
That's those that get married. What are we doing? We're following.
Amen.
Who are we following? Then we're following the one on the white horse, right? What's his name? Oh, so we're following what? The Word of God. The Word of God is just him. It's him. Listen, you know where he's headed? Where is this horse headed? And where is the armies that are following him? You know where they're headed? They're headed to Armageddon. And the bride is a soldier. has army boots. That's the bride's boots, their army boots, and they're going to fight the battle against all the evil nations and all the evil sources on this earth, and they will be dealt with at Armageddon.
Amen.
So it's not just a game, you guys. Overcomers are headed to Armageddon.
Amen.
But we're following the one on the horse, the white horse, named the Word of God.
Amen.
I say all this to let you know this is the key. This, to me, is the key of becoming the overcomers, of those that are raptured, and they're raptured at the beginning before the great tribulation. They're raptured to the throne, and they come back on the white horses, dressed in fine linen, and they follow the Lord to the battle at Armageddon.
Amen.
Does that sound exciting a little bit?
Amen.
Is there a game about this? I don't think there's a game like this. This is the real story, saint. This is the Bible. And this is we're on the verge of this. We're headed that direction. Then, and you don't want to read the rest of this in Revelation 19. Because what happens in Armageddon is pretty gory. Because of what he does. He deals with all the evil armies that are all against Israel. They come together in the Valley of Armageddon to fight against Israel. And the Lord steps in and clears up the situation through his word. And then there's all kinds of horrible things that happen. Eventually, yeah, I won't say anything more. Okay, now then, coming back to this final point, I need to wrap this up. And that is, also in the book of Revelation, why don't we pull up the next slide, you guys. Let me see if this is it. Yeah. This is in Revelation 3. And to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write. Now, you have to keep in mind at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the Lord issues a call to what? There's one word. to overcome. Overcome. Overcome so many things that are, have degraded the believers. He speaks a word to churches, to the believers. And the word is overcome. Let's all say that. Overcome.
Overcome.
Tell your neighbor, overcome.
Overcome.
Overcome degradation.
Overcome.
Overcome the love of the world.
Overcome the love.
How do we do this? Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, who said that? Who said the word of God? Amen. The word of God. Okay, but look at Philadelphia. This is one of the churches that he encouraged them among all the other churches. They need to overcome. But here, with this church, he didn't have any problem with them. You know why? Look at what it says. First of all, they're Philadelphia. And there's some on the screen that are from Philadelphia. They all can tell us. What does Philadelphia mean? It means brotherly love. You know, Philadelphia is referred to as the city of brotherly love. That's their slogan, you know. Well, that's the church in Philadelphia. It matched what the Lord wanted. You know, he's wanting a bride that matches him. Well, here it is, Philadelphia. They have brotherly love. Then look at the next verse. Everybody read 8. We're wrapping up here. 8. I know your works.
Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have not kept my word,
not denied my name. So the point is, with Philadelphia, this is what the Lord loves. This is what he likes. They have the brotherly love. And guess what? What else did they have? Right here. Everybody declare this.
Power.
A lot of power.
No.
Isaac, just a little power. Isn't that good? You got a little power. Amen. Let's all say it. We have little power.
Yeah.
Do we love the brothers?
Yes.
What's the next one? And have kept my
word.
Oh, my word. Let's all say it. Tell your neighbor, keep his word.
Keep his word.
What does that mean? Enjoy the word. Get into the word. Love the word. It's him. It's him in the word that we're finding. And he is delicious. Hey, that's worth an amen.
Amen.
He's delicious in the word. He's sweet. Eldon, is there anything you like that's sweet? What is it?
I prefer salty stuff.
Okay. he likes salty. You know who's salty? Christ.
Amen.
Nathan, what's something sweet you like?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Guess what? Jesus in the word is sweeter than ice cream.
Amen.
Come on, there should be amen.
He
is. He's delicious in the word. He's so nourishing and cherishing. I have no words to describe it. Through all the years I've been here, I've been around so long. Why am I still here? I still am here because of this. It's the highest thing going on in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Out of love for the Lord.
Amen.
And we love his word.
Amen.
And we eat the word every day.
Amen.
We get into the word every morning.
Amen.
At least a little bit. What do you have? A little what? Power. Everyone say, I have a little power. Just have to get it to the word. And then when you get it to the word, guess what? You're following that one on the white horse.
Amen.
You're headed in the right direction toward
Armageddon.
That's a tough one to say, but that's where we're headed, to Armageddon. If we're the overcomers. Okay, then we've kept his word. And then the last thing, we've not denied his name. Amen. So what are David, what are the aspects of Philadelphia that are so outstanding that we need to appreciate?
Can I pull a friend?
Yeah.
Not a young person.
Gabe, you got it? No. What are some of the aspects of Philadelphia? Ben, what's the first one? Okay, everybody repeat after him.
Brotherly.
What else do they have? Yeah, everybody all say that. Little power.
Little power.
What else?
Kept
They kept the Lord's word. And then what else? They didn't deny his name. What's one way to not deny his name, Eldon? Amen. The call. Oh, the drink, the Lord's name. Get the water of life flowing in your being. Guess what that will do? That will transform us all. That'll make us the overcomers that are qualified to marry the Lord. There's going to be a wedding, you guys. I just hope you appreciate it more and more, guys. There's going to be a wedding. And the Lord is so looking forward to this. He wants, he's not after us to, you know, I'm here to judge. And you know, I'm going to get you at Armageddon. No, that's get that out of your mind. He loves us to the uttermost. Amen. And he wants, and he realizes we have the life. We just need a little power.
Amen.
A little power to come to the Lord every day.
Amen.
I think one of the things in our sheet, in the outline, it says we need to what? Turn our heart. Then what? Turn our heart. Love the Lord. And then what else? That's the main thing. And then what? Oh, yeah. Turn our heart to the Lord. Let's all say that. Turn our heart to the Lord.
Love the Lord.
And I would add, love the word. And be filled with him. Then eventually, guess what happens? We'll all match him.
Amen.
And oh, you're just right. I'm going to marry you.
Amen.
He's not going to marry just me and Jesus. But it's going to be all of us. Anyway, Philadelphia. And you know, to Philadelphia, he says something special. He says to Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the trial that will come upon the whole inhabited earth. I'll keep you out of the tribulation that's going to happen on this earth. It's coming. Anyway, hallelujah, the Lord is coming.
Amen.
And we're running.
Amen.
We're loving him.
Amen.
Pursuing him.
Amen.
Getting into the word.
Amen.
Getting filled with him.
Amen.
To match him.
Amen. Amen.